If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
All right, welcome back here in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you here in the program. Busy day in the world of sports as we make our way through the OTAs for the Kansas City Chiefs. Looking forward to hearing some stuff from OTAs. To me, it's probably a lot more productive than we realize.
Right.
You know, the things that are going on, I do believe there's a lot of the foundation put in. It's like, oh, well, I mean, we hear
when
that.
When there's no, you know, they don't talk, it's easy to think nothing's going on, but that we know that's not the case, particularly a team that's in as much flux, particularly on the defensive side as they are. I mean, as many new pieces as there are, I would imagine this year's OTAs are going to be some of the more intriguing that we've ever seen here, other than a new coaching staff. You know, maybe 2013 was you know, more intense because of a new coach, new staff, 2009, stuff like that. But new DC, completely new, almost a completely new defensive staff. Yeah, there's some stuff going on out there.
Yeah, so we'll see. I know a lot of the questions that are being put up there, and you can grab a phone line right now, 913-3810-810. The phone number, 913-3810-810, as we make our way through this Thursday, the final day of this week's OTAs here. But one of the things I keep seeing up here, like NFL Network, something like this time of year we have on all the time. And basically the question keeps being asked, can the Chiefs offense be as explosive as it was last year? Well, we know how much of that's riding on Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Right? That's a big part of it. So we can have the conversation. No Tyreek Hill? The answer is no. You take Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill off this offense, and Damian Williams did a fine job stepping in and really put up really impressive numbers, very Kareem Hunt-like numbers in the three games that he started, and certainly in the postseason was super productive. So, but you lose the depth.
Right.
You lose when he comes out that Damian Williams is coming in, right? Because I do think that there's a big step off. Now, we'll see what the new kid, sixth-round pick, can do. We'll see what Carlos Hyde can do in this. They added a couple of pieces with Darwin Thompson?
Derwin Thompson.
Derwin Thompson.
Yeah, Utah State.
Sixth-round running back, which, you know, to me sounds a lot like the way I'm hearing him described, kind of Maurice Jones-Drew-ish, maybe not quite so bowling ball-looking out on the field, but they're talking about him being sturdy and a physical runner while not being that big. That reminds me of, like, Joe Morris. Maybe Joe Morris, if you're a really old fart like me and Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even that old, but for you young people, we look that old. But Joe Morris was a 5'7 running back that ran with power. Right? He wasn't a scat back.
Right.
He lined up behind a big offensive lineman, and they played smash-mouth power football, pitching the ball back to Joe Morris in the Giants' backfield in 1986. So somewhere in the Joe Morris, Maurice Jones-Drew is what I'm kind of envisioning in my head. Like I said, I know I watched one Utah State game. If you'd have told me this kid's going to play for the Chiefs, then I'd have spent more time really looking at him, but I don't remember. All I've seen are the videos that are available online when you click on him. And then that's the kind of runner that he's looking like to me in that neighborhood. So maybe he can be, you know, a really good backup. I'm confident they'll get productivity from the running back position, right? I have no doubt of that, even behind Damian Williams. But I think they'll be off a little bit. Tyreek Hill's out.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, you know, and I don't know how long he was going to play to say he is or was going to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, I know this. There was not another player in the NFL that I think was exactly like him.
No.
I think that's why he was truly, again, this is what I talked about in baseball a Hall of Fame caliber player. I'm not telling you he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. His credentials are not good enough to just put him in the Hall of Fame, but he was playing at a Hall of Fame level. He has Hall of Fame-like ability if he were to stay healthy and focused and out of jail.
Yeah, he has a set of skills that does not exist in any other player in the league.
Right.
And in few players maybe that have ever played the game. You don't just replace that. I would think had Kareem Hunt not done what he did and finished the season, and had Tyreek Hill had a spotless offseason and they all came back ready to go, I would say they would take a step back. They scored 565 points last year. It's the third highest total in NFL history. They're not going to do that again.
No, because if they play any defense, they'll ice the clock.
Yes.
As opposed to putting more points on the board because they're stuck in a score fest. So, what do we look up the top three teams scoring wise? Did not win the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Now they were close.
They got there.
Chiefs lost in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Patriots. What is it? 1, 2, 3 points wise.
Denver's 2013 number one. They lost to the Seahawks.
Lost to the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
And the Pats in 2007 lost to the Giants.
Lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, and then the Chiefs are three. And they lost.
And to go down to a team that actually won, you have to go all the way down.
So the Chiefs lost in the AFC Championship game. Who's four?
Packers in 2011 lost to the divisional playoff, their first game. 2012 New England, they lost, I think, in a wild card. 98 Minnesota Vikings lost in the NFC Championship game. 2011 Saints lost in a divisional playoff game. 83 Redskins got to the Super Bowl and lost. 2016 Falcons got to the Super Bowl and lost. 2000 Rams got knocked off in a wild card game. 2018 Rams got to the Super Bowl and lost. 99 St. Louis Rams won it all. So number 12 at 526. And before that, you have to go back down to 2009 Saints and 18. So that's of 23 teams that have scored at least 500
points. Which is how many down?
That's 2000 Saints was 9 Saints was eight, number 18. There are 23 500-point teams.
Take 19 and 20.
Sure.
They didn't either?
49ers in 94 they did.
So they did? Okay. And then 20?
20 was a 2018 Saints. So of the 23 teams that have scored 500 points, four won the Super Bowl.
Okay. And of the top 18, top 17, only one.
Only one.
So three
Rams.
Of them you pick up in the 17 to 23 range.
Yep.
Well, go on down two more to 25. Does it stay with three?
48 49ers and the 06 Chargers.
So they didn't those two didn't.
Yeah. I
didn't
you know go down. The next one that won it was the Redskins at 29.
Okay. So of the top 25 because that's a round number.
Yeah, top 25.
There are four teams.
Four teams. The 98 Broncos, 94 49ers, 09 Saints. 99 Rams.
So in reality, what that tells us, and if you look at the ones that did win, the Rams, Mike Martz was just, I mean, they were kind of ahead of the curve in what they did. They did play defense.
Yeah.
They had a bad schedule. They had a weak schedule that they routed, which doesn't matter. You play the teams that are in front of you.
They were one of the top five teams in scoring defense.
And it became a thing to see, let's keep this thing going.
Yep.
All right. The next one to win it was who?
Saints. Oh, you want to go chronologically just down the list?
No, total points.
09 Saints.
09 Saints.
5-10 to 341. That was the ones that beat the Colts in the Super Bowl.
Turnover, a defense based upon turnovers. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really great at stopping people, but could turn them over and give the ball back.
Almost frittered away in the NFC Championship game. If they don't make the big turnover. Tracy Porter made two of the biggest plays of his life, probably the two biggest plays of his life in those back-to-back games.
The AFC Championship game in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, one stopped the Vikings from winning it in regulation, and two salted away the Super Bowl as the Colts were driving for the tying score late, a pick six against Peyton Manning. Next down is the 94 49ers.
That was just a dominant free agent fest team.
They allowed fewer than 300 points that year, so they weren't a terrible defensive team.
So the question about
– And the 98
you know,
Broncos.
You're really not – asking the right questions when you throw up there. And look, I get it. NFL Network is talking NFL, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week?
Yeah.
because really their weekend programming is nothing live. They do live programming at night, and that's it.
There's a lot
they do
of,
Good Morning Football.
Yeah, there's a lot of NFL games. And
yeah, there's maybe, you know, like basically our local time, 6 to 10 p.m. is live. Maybe 6 to 9
yeah.
is live. And then they do their morning talk show. So yeah. maybe 6 hours a day.
About
you can
that.
Four.
About that.
So I get it. With only the NFL, like you don't break away to talk Nicky Lopez on the NFL network.
Right.
So I respect the amount of content, even though it's not 24/7, you know, fresh content all the time. I absolutely respect the job that it is to provide 6 fresh hours of NFL content all through the offseason. Every day, 5 days a week. It's a big undertaking, okay? So I'm not trying. I hate it when I hear everybody's like, I mean, can you believe they don't have anything better to talk? Yes, it's hard. It's hard.
Yes.
Right? We've been at it a long time. We don't panic to come up with 4 hours in Kansas City here, but we've been at it for a long time, and we have a smorgasbord of sports that we can go to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I get why they come up with those kind of things. The Chiefs are a hot one, so let's ask something about the Chiefs. So about all you can say is, are they going to be that good again? And Tyreek Hill is a hot button topic. So if you want to get people to listen, what he's going
to
do, start talking about him, and he is at the root of why you would have that conversation. But you know, Chiefs fans do not need to worry if the offense slips. It's going to slip. Plan on it slipping. Even if Tyreek Hill is found to have done nothing wrong and plays all 16 games, it's going to slip. That's the reality of what's going on. What matters is when they got to score, can they still score the way they could?
Yeah.
And do they stop people?
Yeah.
Because they will, when you go to finish a game off, if they run out and they get to, you know, what do they have, 28 against the Steelers in the first half in that game? And they were looking at, or was it 35-21? Because they ran out to 21-0, and all of a sudden we're looking at 21-all.
Yeah, I think it was 21-all at the half. Let me
check. And I thought it was 35-21, and then they had to. Then
21-all at the half, 28-21, 28-all, 35-28, then 42-28. They didn't get up 14
okay.
again until the early part of the fourth quarter.
Yeah. What you're hoping is this year when you hit 35,
yeah.
it's 35-13. And you don't need to go get more. Well, yes.
It's 21-7
yes.
and not 21-all.
Or 21-6 at the half.
Yeah, there are a couple.
Instead of 21-all.
Right.
And so that was what drove the remarkable numbers that the Chiefs offense put up. If they're better defensively, they will play differently on offense.
Yeah.
So
I like 450 points scored and 250 points allowed.
Yeah.
Give me that.
Yes.
Over 565 and whatever the hell it was, like 421 last year, or even 365.
I'd like to point out that all Curtis is really asking for is to win every game by double digits.
Or 565 to drop 100 points off both numbers, 465 and 321. I think that plays better than 565 and 421.
All right, let's hear Patrick Mahomes talking now after OTAs.
The idea that it's coming here, you kind of had a firsthand look at the flavor from several different angles. What do you think about it coming to Kansas City?
I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, first off, it's a great opportunity for the city to show off all the tradition and history that we have here. People are going to eat a lot of good, very good barbecue. They're going to get to see this city and everything that it has to offer, and I think it's going to be an amazing experience.
Were you impressed with Nashville when you were there, like as an announcer?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, they had a ton of people out there. Everybody was really showing that Nashville spirit, and I feel like it's going to be really, really similar to Kansas City. Everybody being able to show the tradition and the history that we have here, and there's so much of it, and people are going to really enjoy that.
Being there hands-on, are you going to provide any input to, you know, the local chamber or the convention center on how they can, you know, top what they did in Nashville?
And if they ask me, I will. But, I mean, at the same time, I think they know what they do. When you look at the Royals when they won the World Series, I mean, that thing was rocking. And you see the Kansas City spirit and everything that they have, that we have here in Kansas City. And so I know that they know how to handle it, and they're going to go out there and really show off everything that Kansas City has to offer.
Patrick, is the visor a natural fit? Is that sticking around for a long time?
Yeah, we're trying it out. I mean, I definitely like it, and I've liked it these last couple of days. So we're going to keep trying it out, and if hopefully I keep playing good in it. I'm pretty superstitious, so if I'm playing well with it, I'll keep it going.
Yeah, what was your instant reaction when the Chiefs ended up taking a wide receiver with their top pick? And how has it been working with McColl so far?
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, obviously he's very fast, but he's working on everything, route running. Really getting accustomed to the offense. I was very excited. I mean, when you add guys and add depth, I mean, it really is a special thing to know that the staff and everybody like that's going to keep adding, never being satisfied with where we're at. We're going to try to keep getting better every single year.
You told him on Twitter the other day, keep running. Has that been a thing that you've seen with him so far? You just want
Yeah, I was just joking a little bit. There's sometimes he runs, he gets like 45, 50 yards downfield, and he kind of slows down. And I told him, I'm like, keep running. And like, just keep running. And that's something that we've all kind of gotten accustomed to, is we always want to stay alive, keep running. There's no clear routes. We want to make sure that everyone knows they have a chance to catch the ball.
Sammy Watkins has mentioned in a couple of radio interviews that he just feels really good this spring, feels healthy. How have you seen him, and how is your connection with him kind of developing going into year two?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, just see how hard he works. You can tell he's slimmed down. He's running really fast. He still has that power that you see on every Sunday. And so for him to be out here working hard, and you see it every single day just stacking on top of each other, you know that he's primed and ready to go out there this season.
Kendall Fuller. You had mentioned some pad plays back in April. Have you kind of seen any of those put into the work right now so far?
Yeah, we've added a lot. I mean, we never stop adding plays here, and that's the best thing about this team and this offense is, like I said, we're never satisfied with just where we're at. We're always trying to get better, finding ways to get better as a team, as an offense, and Coach Reed's going to challenge you every single day.
You saw what's occurred on the other side of the ball this offseason, just competing with those guys for the first time this week. What would you say, or how would you characterize the competition, sort of the energy that you see from that side of the ball?
They're getting after it, for sure. First off, they're doing a lot of different things, and it's hard to get a kind of a read on them. And so it's definitely challenging as an offense, and especially at the QB position, to kind of see what coverages they're in. And I mean, they're doing a lot of great things, and they're just adding in as much as we're adding. So it's kind of that back and forth battle. Every single practice, it seems like we'll get some good plays here, then they'll get some good plays there. And so when you have that competition, that's when you know you have a good team.
Pat, Kendall Fuller put out on Twitter the no-look pass tweet, saying that you're already doing it that early. Is that something you commonly do throughout practice, or can you kind of walk us through what the play was?
Yeah, I've done two so far. One was the Kendall. It wasn't a big one, just kind of looked him off and then threw it kind of behind him. And then one I did on kind of a little like RPO run pass option play. But it's not something I really try to do. It just kind of happens sometimes. Kendall got me the next day. I gave him a present, so I don't plan on giving him any more after that.
Darren Lee and you kind of went back and forth with Game of Thrones on Twitter, like talking about it, and all of a sudden he's a chief. Just what was it like bringing him into the room, you know, that dynamic, and then what do you expect from him?
Yeah, it was really cool, honestly. I hadn't got to actually meet him in person before. We just kind of interacted through Twitter and social media, and then when you got to the locker room, I mean, he's that same guy. He has that high energy. He's really fit into the team well, and came in with that optimistic attitude. They even get better every single day, and you love to add players like that.
Along those same lines with Frank, just what sticks out about having him in the room?
I mean, first off, he other than being just extremely athletic and a heck of a pass rusher, he's extremely smart. And it's good to see that we're on the field. He's taking away some of my hot throws. He's taking away some of my adjustments because he's just playing football. And those guys are the ones that are really special. I mean, I think today I was about to throw a hot to Sherman, and he just peeled off on it and made me throw the ball away. And whenever you have guys that are that talented that are also smart like that, those guys are really special players.
I think Coach Reed talked about this offseason, just the cut-ups you were going to get and just the self-scouting. Can you just, you know, open the window a little bit on that process and what you learned about yourself?
Yeah, I mean – I learned that there's still a ton that I need to improve on. There really is. I made a lot of plays happen kind of off script this year, but there was times where I try to make those plays happen and instead of just taking the easy completion for a first down. And so I have to keep finding that line whenever I want to try to make the big play happen and when I want to just take the easy completion, move the chains, keep the offense on the field, keep rolling down the field. And that's stuff that I have to keep working on every single year, and that scheme that really opened my eyes to that.
You mentioned
a couple more guys.
The idea of, you know, teams are going to adjust to you based on the film from last year. How much of it is helpful and beneficial to be having a new defensive scheme, and how much do you think that is going to be a part of OTA's mini camp and obviously in training camp, understanding how teams may adjust to you differently next year?
Yeah, I think it's very helpful. Just them doing so many different coverages, doing so many different schemes, one high, two high, everything that they're doing is really challenging me, and it's making me not necessarily have my first read every single time. I have to adjust on the fly. And whenever you're put in those positions and you have to find ways to be successful, that's whenever you get in games, and it almost makes it a little bit easier that you know exactly what the defenses are going to be playing.
Third year in the league, second year as a starter, is this time of year changing as far as your comfort level and just what you're coming to expect and how fast things are going for you?
Yeah, I think just being able to have a schedule and knowing exactly what I need to do in order to have success is something that has really been made me more comfortable this year. Last year, I was trying to like become the leader, trying to figure out ways to do different stuff with different players and different teammates. And so now I kind of have that schedule of knowing what I need to do each and every week to get better. And at the same time, knowing I can't be satisfied with where I'm at, I have to keep getting better every single day.
Patrick, I'm digging the shoes. Are you turning into a blinging monster?
I'm not. So I just kind of wear what they give me. So they threw these in my locker one day, so I brought them out here, and Kelsey approved, so I know they're pretty
approved.
Cool.
Okay. That's all that matters.
Yes, thanks, exactly. Guys. Thank you all.
All right, there it is, Patrick Mahomes at his locker. We will take a break, come back. We'll hear from Andy Reid and Sammy Watkins. Is that correct? The slim down, but still just as powerful. Maybe even faster, but more powerful, according to Patrick Mahomes.
Andy Reid.
Sammy Watkins.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we'll hear from them next here in the program.
The program on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense into the hour answer. What team holds the AL record for consecutive wins on the road? Number 17. Set the record on this date of 16 and then one more.
Was it the 94 Royals?
No.
Was it the A's when they made that great charge?
Keep in mind, this, if I said that they set the record on this date, that would have been a team that got out of the gates hot.
Oh, the Tigers in 84.
Tigers.
Yeah.
Won their first 16 road games.
Scorching hot.
And going out to 35-5, then stretched it to 17, but they set the AL mark on this date in 1984.
Very good. What were we playing for?
Good sense.
Good sense. You know, they bake the bread fresh twice each day. You can smell it when you walk in the door. They slice the meats and cheeses fresh right in front of you. That's not the easiest way to do it. That's not why they do it. It's not because it's easy. They do it because it tastes better. It's better sandwiches when it's fresh meat and fresh cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get with your neighborhood Good Sense. Go see them today and grab yourself some lunch if you haven't lunched yet. Let's go. Good Sense is ready for you right now. Go Penny Club today. Feels like a Penny Club day.
Sure.
I like the Penny Club. I'm a fan. All right. We heard from Patrick Mahomes. Let's hear from Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Here are his thoughts as we wrap up this week's OTAs.
All right, so just there are a couple injuries. Like Cam Irvin had offseason shoulder surgery. And then Hitch is not injured. His wife had a baby, so he's attended to that. Other than that, I think we've caught up on all the other guys. Listen, great to be out here. The competition is tremendous. The guys are working hard. They're challenging each other. Love the energy. So that's where we're at. Time's yours.
Andy, haven't had a chance to talk to you since you got traded for Darren Lee. What do you like about him, and what role do you maybe see for him?
Darren was one of the top guys coming out. I know Brett really liked him when he came out of Ohio State, and he brings great coverage ability, speed. He's fast. He's not the biggest guy, but he plays all over the field. So he gives you some flexibility there at the linebacker position, and again that great coverage.
How is Travis Kelce progressing?
He's doing good. Yeah, he's chomping a bit out here. He stands right behind you and watching him, but he's doing good. He was.
Do you feel that Patrick responded? I know you had talked about how he was kind of go through the tape for self-scouting. Just how has he responded to that?
Patrick with the self-scout stuff, going through all the cut-ups has been great. One thing about him, he's real about himself, and he wants to be great. So you have to be able to do that. You got to be able to look at it in a humble manner and take it all in and correct it. And he's on a mission to do that.
Andy, during this time period, how do you guys balance him trying new things to just getting better at the basics in a sense?
Yeah, so we do keep a balance there, but we're giving him new things to work with. He digests things easy, and so we want to keep growing, and he's attacked that part of it. We've still been able to get work in with the other things that he needed to work on.
I know it's early, but have you seen his chemistry with some of those new guys like Cole?
Yeah, it's been good. I can't tell you it's been a ton of reps, live reps. Team reps. So the reps he's had, he's done very well. Yeah, Cole's getting better every day. That's kind of fun to watch too.
Based on what you saw last year in the first OTA period to where you are now, how would you describe the chemistry relationship, timing with Patrick and Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, I think he'll tell you. I mean, he's coming up here in a minute. He'll tell you. But their chemistry is good. I think Patrick, everything's for both of those two, everything's a little bit easier, all the verbiage and sorting it out and getting where you got to go. And for Sammy, the routes are familiar, and he kind of knows how to set them up, and Patrick knows what he's going to do against different coverages, so that's been positive.
Sammy's put some stuff out there about how well he feels physically. Just what have you noticed?
Sammy?
Yeah, Sammy.
Yeah, no, he's worked very hard this offseason. He looks tremendous right now. He's for what you can do here. This isn't, it's not training camp. So, but he sure has worked hard to do what he's doing. He's getting a lot of reps, which is great.
Andy, how would you characterize dialogue between the team and Chris Jones right now?
I don't know that. I don't know how they're talking. Are you talking about me? I haven't talked to him.
Him not being here.
Yeah, we don't even. Listen, we just go. You're here, you get better, you're not, you know.
And Coach, Tyron Matthews,
can you talk a little bit about just the idea that the NFL draft is coming? I mean, that's like a banner day for the city, and in the NFL, it's one of the biggest events.
Yeah, how great is that, man? How great is that? So I think it's a tribute to this, to Kansas City itself, the fans. It'll be wild, but it'll be great for all the hotels and restaurants. I think it's a win-win, and we welcome everybody here, man. We just gotta get red on everybody.
Andy, Tyron Matthew came in and said that he really wanted to be a vocal leader. Have you kind of seen him take charge out there just early?
Yeah, he's kind of fun to be around. I mean, he's business. He shares that with the guys around him. He has those instincts that you can't teach that part. So and that's what he's had throughout. He had it in college, and he's had it in the NFL. He works hard every snap, and that's infectious. All that part. That along with Frank, being Frank, you know, and going 100 miles an hour every snap. I mean, it's that kind of stuff is contagious.
Yeah. Which, so, you know, with this being the first week you could really get that team ramped going, what stands out to you about the defense so far?
Yeah, so you don't get the full, you're not going to get the full offense or the full defense just because you can't have contact up front. I mean, you're not like, it's not like training camp. So, but I will tell you, it's very well organized, and for the time that they've had together, there are not a lot of holes in their coverages. And so I've been impressed by that.
All right, Andy Reid there, breaking things down. I thought a couple of interesting things there from Reid.
Chris,
I saw
Jones,
the look on your face, yeah.
We don't need him, we just go. Then he said, you're here, you get better. You're not, you don't. Just a little something.
That's a shot. I think he definitely wants him there.
I thought he was done when he says, you know, we don't need him. You know, we just go.
Yeah, no, kind of like I'm not going to talk about him. And, you know, I'm going to talk about that. But then he added in. He took
a
shot
there. You get
better,
you're not, you don't.
Sammy looks tremendous. Getting a lot of reps.
Mm-hmm. Tremendous reps.
I mean, the bodybuilding contest that's conducted, getting off the bus, does not win the game.
No.
So that's super. We'll see
if tremendous means he's in good shape.
Patrick Mahomes says he's in great shape. That was noted by both of them. You know,
I don't know what
lighter.
How that might help. I don't know how being in good shape helps you not break your foot.
Well, lighter is less weight to carry.
Lighter is definitely better.
You know, he's had foot problems his entire career.
Yep.
And so lighter is better from that standpoint.
You can be a big, you know, rangy guy and use your size without being a heavy guy. I mean, I think him losing 10 pounds or whatever is going to make him less.
I think if he went more from strength training to more of a, you know, endurance, lean, that's I'm good with that.
Yep.
I mean, maybe he loses a little bit in the blocking. You know, he's just as powerful in the blocking. Well, that's lip service from Patrick Mahomes, because how do you know? They're not wearing pads. You're not blocking. So he's not just as powerful. You don't know. He might be, but that's just
it's
lip
all
service.
Speculation.
Well, listen, we all love Patrick Mahomes, but that's BS. I mean, you can't tell how, if the guy's just as powerful if you're not putting pads on and running through tackles.
Yeah.
You know, putting a block on a guy and driving him off the ball. You don't know.
That is TBD.
And I am fine if he's not as powerful in the blocking, but is healthier and
plays
faster.
16 games.
And plays 16 games.
Because we saw off and on, when he wasn't on the field, that offense was a little tougher to, a little easier to contend with from the defensive side. And we saw the return against the Colts. He was fantastic. I mean, he's on the field. It's a different offense.
All right, so we'll come back to him in a minute. I probably should have used that one last. I'm sorry, because we're going to hear from Sammy Watkins, right? So anyway, we'll come back to put Sammy Watkins on hold for a second. Darren Lee. I know Brett really loved him when he was coming out. So, I mean, which you trust your evaluation of what he was in college, but you can't ignore the evaluation of what he was with the New York Jets as well, which was a disappointing football player.
Yeah.
For the 20th overall pick to be traded for a sixth rounder. Now, I'm all for it. I love sixth for a guy who was a first round talent. I'm all for it.
But it does send the antenna up.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think it's important that you have to also understand what it is he's been for the New York Jets. That's now new information that is a part of his bio. Mm-hmm. It's not just the what you thought he was when he's playing at Ohio State, surrounded by tons of talent. Right. When he went and played for the Jets and wasn't, and by the way, they had a pretty good front in front of him.
Sure.
And yet he still has not lived up anything close to what the expectations were.
Another guy who they brought in with character risk, who was suspended, I believe, the last four games of the season. So just something else to file away.
Yeah.
Talked about his coverage skills. Fast coverage, gives him flexibility.
Linebacker coverage is very underrated. I mean, trust me.
This is one town that doesn't need to be told that.
Yes,
because they know.
But it is a more and more and more and more a big part of the equation of what you are as an NFL linebacker. Yep. And so the Chiefs desperately need that.
It's too many guys who can catch the ball and just go defensive backs.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, you know, the other thing when you go to the 4-3, which everybody loves, the 3-4, one of the benefits it has, you know, linebackers are the perfect guys to play special teams. Mm-hmm. They're big enough to stand in there and be a guard on the punt snap and the field goals. You know, field goal, you're going to put the big fatties out there. But on the punt snap, linebackers are a lot of the guys that occupy the line, because then they can still move and get down the field and make a tackle, right? And then in punt block and you know, punt return, they're a big part because they can run down and get set up for whichever way you want to make the return, while also being athletic enough to maybe get up through the middle and block the kick. You have less of them in a 4-3. You're not going to be carrying 10 linebackers anymore in a 4-3.
Nope.
Because you need more guys in other spots now. So it's going to be important that the linebackers that they do have, if you're not starting, you're going to play on special teams.
Probably
going to
lose three linebackers.
Yeah. I mean, I think they'll probably keep seven.
Maybe three.
They'll keep seven. If they might keep eight. It'll be for special teams reasons.
Right.
When it's all said and done. But, yeah, it got harder to make this team as a linebacker. And then the other one I liked was – Andy Reid talking about Patrick Mahomes said the self-scout stuff, he's done really well. He's been really good at it. He's real at what he's looking at. And he's on a mission to correct the mistakes. He's real.
Yeah.
I got to give you an example of, I mentioned there's a guy I know in the league who, and I can't tell you the quarterback, it's not Mahomes, right? But said, you know, we wanted to do an evaluation and have him look at these different things. And it's like, no, we can't have him compared to these guys because he doesn't like being compared to that guy. That's a guy who's not real. And let me tell you, that guy has zero playoff wins, but is a notable starting quarterback. That guy's not real. If what Andy Reid said isn't lip service, then Patrick Mahomes might, you know, he's clearly, the numbers say he's incredibly accomplished. Mm-hmm. They had a good day all around. Great game plan against the Colts. Andy Reid's going to give you a good game plan. Even a milquetoast turd can win playoff games. No offense, they won a playoff game with Alex Smith, right?
Yeah, sure.
And he's not milquetoast turd. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But I'm saying Andy Reid won playoff games with the remains of Jeff Garcia,
mm-hmm.
right? He won a playoff game with Jeff Garcia at like 39 years old, playing quarterback for him with the Eagles. So he can win you a game. So the fact that Patrick Mahomes has got a win under his belt doesn't mean he's a Hall of Famer and a guy that can go win you a Super Bowl. Doing this to get better after the season he's had and not resting on his laurels, if what Andy Reid said, he's looking at going, you know what, I made that mistake, I got to get better there. That is the kind of thing that Hall of Famers do.
Absolutely.
Because then he goes and gets better. Again, maybe not statistically better. We may have seen the career high for yards and touchdowns in his career already, but he will be better as a quarterback, big picture. And maybe that's lining guys up. Maybe that's doing a better job of not snapping the ball and burning more seconds off the clock because he's so aware of everything going on. You know, that's one of the things that I would watch and, you know, when you're trying to burn the clock and you see guys up there snapping the ball at a little 10 seconds. It's like, are you burning the clock or not? Right? Like, what the hell are you doing? There's not a semi-burn. There's not a semi-burn of the clock.
No, either you're going or you're
burning. You're either
burning
or you're not burning.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to be in a hurry, right? It's not hurry up or stall.
Right.
But, like, snapping at 8 seconds with the lead is what?
Dumb.
Yeah, I mean, anyway.
It's just dumb.
All right, Sammy Watkins also meeting with the media. Let's hear what the Chiefs' thinner wide receiver had to say.
Sammy, how about for you? I have to ask this of everybody. The NFL draft's coming. I mean, you know your experience, but boy, has it changed since people have been drafted. It's become one of the biggest events in the NFL, and it's coming to KC. What do you think?
I think it's exciting for the whole Kansas City, Missouri people, just to bring such a good thing to the city, and everyone can come here as far as our fans can come and watch our drafters get picked. It's definitely the best.
Sammy, last year at the training camp, I remember you cut your hair, and you're like, this is a new beginning for me, and it was a good year, and then got hurt sort of toward the end. How are you viewing this year, you know, in that regard, as this chapter going?
I'm staying focused just to come here and learn. I'm moving around a lot, learning different positions, and just to really just continue to build with Pat and the team, and actually just try to be a leader to the young guys. And I think that's kind of my role now with leading, trying to do all the right things so the young guys can look up to me and say that this guy does everything right, finish the reps, uplift everyone, bring that energy every day in practice. That's kind of my focus now. Being I'm 6 years in the league, I'm just trying to continue to build on that.
I heard you say in a couple of radio interviews that you're feeling really good this spring. What's different for you?
I think my approach. You know, you come to a new team, you kind of sit back trying to observe. Now I'm just open with love and just trying to learn and continue to get better. And every day bring that leadership mentality and speaking up in meetings. Hey, I did this wrong. To show the young guys, hey, man, we do mess up, all of us, and correct everything in the meeting. And I'm just really trying to focus on being a leader and a little bit more outspoken and trying to speak up for myself and doing the right things.
Did you do anything different this offseason between the end of the season and now to kind of get centered and get that different mindset?
Yeah, self-evaluation, being hurt, you always kind of sit back, what can I do better? And for me, I think I'm a quiet guy, kind of humbled, and I kind of sit back and observe. And I think I got to push past that. I got to be uncomfortable and be that leader and speak up. But you also, it's the flip side of, I got to do the right things on the field and off the field, and it's been a great challenge.
Sammy, in those interviews, you've kind of said you're sacrificing everything so you can take that next step. What are you sacrificing?
My time. I think you can easily come here and do the right thing, but are we doing the right things at home as far as watching film, eating the right things, taking care of your body? As a young guy, you can just freaking eat everything and hamburgers and everything, and as I get older, I'm kind of like, man, my weight fluctuates up and down, so I'm trying to really have a balanced meal plan and get the right rest and come here every day and put all my energy, my soul, my spirit into what I do.
Sammy, you had a lot on your shoulders in Buffalo when you started out. Is there a way you can relate to Mecole Hardman and try to help him through this?
Yeah, I'm always talking to him. The coach is on him really hard, as they on everybody pretty hard. And just tell him, hey, keep going, man. Play fast. Like, you're going to make many mistakes right now. But as long as you play fast and finish and do the right things, what the coach is looking for, which is speed and being available, just continue to get better and listen to the coaches and the guys around you.
How important were Rick and his staff and getting you right, getting you healthy and all the stuff that you were going through last year?
Oh, man, it's been a blessing. They kind of know my body better than I do. And they've been fixing and giving me so many tips and things to do at home and coming to training room and work on before I come out here. And my body's feeling amazing, from my hips to everything that they're correcting. And I think that's been the biggest part of why I can come out here and run around, have fun, and do the things I do best.
You mentioned last year the idea that you came with the Chiefs because you understood how talented Patrick could be. With a full year with you guys together, if you are able to stay healthy, have you given thought to just how dynamic the two can be if you guys are both on the same page and healthy this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think we really hit it off last year. I think the only thing, like you said, I got injured against the Cleveland Browns. But just continue to build off what we did last year and stay communicating. And I got to keep running my routes full speed, and he got to keep throwing the ball and really just spreading the ball around. I think that's the biggest thing. And the success of this team, we have so many guys they can throw the ball to, and not just me. So just continue to build with him and keep doing the things I've been doing.
Sammy, do you see any difference in Patrick in these OTAs? I mean, if it's possible for the MVP to get better or more mature or take another step, do you see it?
Yeah, I think for the most part he's a leader now. I think 3 weeks ago he kind of got on me a little bit, but that's what we need from a guy that lead this team, a guy that's ahead of this team, a leader, and he's going to do all the crazy things on the field, throwing the balls crazy and making the plays that he's going to make. He's going to continue to do that. But I think the most thing is his leadership that he's showing this offseason.
What did he get on you about?
Not coming first in the sprints when I should be, but it was a good thing because the next day I came in first just about almost every reps. And he
All right, there it is, Sammy Watkins talking to the media. More accountability, seems to be maturing. Also yeah. knows that this is the contract year for him.
Yep.
I mean, there's a third year on it, but he's cuttable after this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that reality maybe had him working different. I think the guy already put in the work, but working different. We'll take a break. We come back. We give you some things you need to know next here in the program.
The program, weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810, WHB.
Need to Know is brought to you by 360 Vodka. Raise a glass to spring at the Holiday Distillery, where you'll learn the incredible story of Casey's oldest business and experience real Missouri bourbon being made. Only $10. Tours include tasting to those 21 and up. Book now at holidaydistillery.com.
Impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
All right, we'll start with a little news. It's unlikely Kevin Durant, due to his calf strain, will play beginning the NBA Finals. They're hopeful that he'll play at some point. Don't hold your breath on that one. I don't see it coming about anytime soon. But we will see, right, when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's any chance. I think they're just burning reps like Durant might be back. Story out from CBS Sports, Kevin Flaherty reporting the headline, Devin Dotson likely to return to Kansas, which has been the feeling all along, despite those that really, I think, have been rooting for him to leave, trying to paint a picture like he was on his way out. The approach has been that he'd be back. We'll see. Till he's back, I don't know where it is. Jayhawks currently have 8 players signed for the 2019-2020 season. So still waiting on DeSouza's situation, R.J. Hampton, whether or not he's going to make it. But the report is that he should be coming back. This, according to Flaherty's report with CBS Sports. Let's see. Dotson and Grimes each have positive moments in the combine, but it doesn't feel like either player moved the needle enough to solidify his draft status. Both are presently looking at second-round selections at best. And G League time, if they turn pro now, it seems likely Dotson returns. Transferring may be on the table for Grimes.
Mm.
So we'll see where that goes from here. All-NBA first team is out. LeBron tying the record. Or all-NBA team, which is three teams, first, second, and third. LeBron, third team, marks his 15th time being all-NBA. That ties the record of Kobe Bryant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Tim Duncan. It's the first time since 2007 he's not on the first team all-NBA. Nice contract. Lakers, nice contract. Kristaps Porzingis said to have no fracture in his hand. Le'Veon Bell not participating in OTA, says he will be at mini camps. What could go wrong there? And starting in April of 2020, Europe or London? England. England is banning straws, plastic stirrers, and Q-tips. You got to cut down on plastic waste.
WHB.